Corky stood up with a smile. Rachel's mouth fell slack. She gave an impressed laugh. "Well, Dr. Marlinson, that explanation was exceptionally..."
"Lucid?"
Corky offered. Rachel smiled. "In a word." Corky handed the sample back to her.
"Look at the cross-section."
Rachel studied the rock's interior a moment, seeing nothing.
"Tilt it into the light," Tallon prompted, his voice warm and kind. "And look closely."
Rachel brought the rock close to her eyes and tilted it against the dazzling halogens reflecting overhead. Now she saw it, tiny metallic globules glistening in the stone. Dozens of them were peppered throughout the cross-section like minuscule droplets of mercury, each only about a millimeter across.
"Those little bubbles are called chondrils," Corky said, "and they occur only in meteorites."
Rachel squinted at the droplets. "Granted, I've never seen anything like this in an earth rock."
"Nor will you," Corky declared. "Chondrils are one geologic structure we simply do not have on Earth. Some chondrils are exceptionally old, perhaps made of the earliest materials on the universe. Other chondrils are much younger, like the ones in your hand. The chondrils in that meteorite date only about 190 million years old."
190 million years is young?
"Heck yes. In cosmological terms, that's yesterday. The point here, though, is that this sample contains chondrils, conclusive meteoric evidence."
"Okay," Rachel said. "Chondrils are conclusive. Got it."
"And finally,"
Corky said, heaving a sigh,
"if the fusion crust and chondrils don't convince you, we astronomers have a foolproof method to confirm meteoric origin."
"Being?" Corky gave a casual shrug.
"We simply use a petrographic polarizing microscope, an X-ray fluorescent spectrometer, a neutron activation analyzer, or an induction-coupled plasma spectrometer to measure ferromagnetic ratios."
Tolan groaned. "Now he's showing off. What Corky means is that we can prove a rock is a meteorite simply by measuring its chemical content."
"Hey, ocean boy," Corky chided. "Let's leave the science to the scientists, shall we?"
He immediately turned back to Rachel.
"In earth rocks, the mineral nickel occurs in either extremely high percentages or extremely low, nothing in the middle. In meteorites, though, the nickel content falls within a mid-range set of values. Therefore, if we analyze a sample and find the nickel content reflects a mid-range value, we can guarantee beyond the shadow of a doubt that the sample is a meteorite."
Rachel felt exasperated.
"Okay, gentlemen, fusion crusts, chondrils, mid-range nickel contents, all of which prove it's from space. I get the picture."
She laid the sample back on Corky's table.
"But why am I here?"
Corky heaved a portentous sigh.
"You want to see a sample of the meteorite NASA found in the ice underneath us?"
"Before I die here, please," she thought. This time Corky reached in his breast pocket and produced a small, disc-shaped piece of stone. The slice of rock was shaped like an audio CD, about half an inch thick, and appeared to be similar in composition to the stony meteorite she had just seen.
"This is a slice of a core sample that we drilled yesterday."
Corky handed the disc to Rachel. The appearance certainly wasn't earth-shattering. It was an orangish-white, heavy rock. Part of the rim was charred and black, apparently a segment of the meteorite's outer skin.
"I see the fusion crust," she said.
Corky nodded.
"Yeah, this sample was taken from near the outside of the meteorite, so it still has some crust on it."
Rachel tilted the disc in the light and spotted the tiny metallic globules.
"And I see the chondrils."
"Good,"
Corky said, his voice tense with excitement.
"And I can tell you from having run this thing through a petrographic polarizing microscope that its nickel content is mid-range, nothing like a terrestrial rock. Congratulations, you've now successfully confirmed the rock in your hand came from space."
Rachel looked up, confused.
"Dr. Marlinson, it's a meteorite. It's supposed to come from space. Am I missing something here?